Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Sometimes being really, really smart is not that easy. Hello, listeners. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. This is Bill Quinn, and today is February 8th, 2013. We are on day two of our People Profile. You can find it on pages 16 through 18 in your Advanced magazine. We're talking about a young man, Sho Yano, who is a child prodigy, we would say, as far as he is a genius, and he had some exceptional talents and abilities when he was very, very young, and then he's been on an accelerated program really all through his youth and his teen years, and now he has moved on to graduating from medical school at the age of 21. It's a remarkable story, and we learned about some of the things yesterday as far as some of his past and the track record and actually how having some of these gifts, well, it's not always easy. I said at the top of the program, being smart isn't always easy. Believe me, I know. And my panelists are saying nothing. I'll get you.
You did yesterday.
Yes, you did, actually.
You already made fun of us.
All right. I'm just kidding with that last statement, listeners. But I'm not kidding when I tell you that Naomi Beeshable's back for day two.
Yay. Yeah, I'm very interested in this article. I think that Sho Yano is an intriguing person. We often read about these kinds of child geniuses and hear the remarkable facts of someone, you know, entering college at the age of 9 or composing music at the age of 5. But we rarely hear the rest of the story. And it's great to hear his perspective on all of this.
Yeah. You mentioned something that was in my mind right when you were talking, the rest of the story. And I've heard stories like this over the years, and not about Sho Yano, but different the child geniuses. And we always hear about them. We see them on the internet or on TV, and this kid's 10 years old or 12 years old or whatever. But rarely do we ever see the follow-up story on the person when they're 40 years old.
Right.
We rarely. I never get the follow-up story. What's the rest of the story? What happened to this guy?
Well, and actually, if you don't mind, Bill, that brings us into our sidebar from page 16 quite nicely. It was interesting to read that Sho Yano and his family were making a point of avoiding the limelight. They were trying to stay out of the public eye for a while.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, we'll talk about that sidebar in just a moment. I want to introduce our other panelist. Campbell Chong's here, too. Hi, Campbell.
Hi, everyone. It's great to be back.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think this story is really interesting, especially since my daughter is entering into her, you know, she's almost 2 now. So I'm wondering if she's going to start, you know, reading and writing soon. And maybe she'll be one of these geniuses that we're talking about. And then I can give you that follow-up story.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, good. Well, we actually talk a little bit about that today in our reading about parenting and how you know, a lot of times when you have these child geniuses, you can't follow the typical path. So, but one of the things that his parents have done is try to help him avoid the limelight, which you were talking about, right?
Right. We saw there at the bottom of page 16, it says that Yano was profiled in a newspaper, the Chicago Tribune, during his first year of medical school. So they did do a feature on him, and a lot of people heard about who he is.
Yeah.
But then they kind of took a step back.
Yeah. All right. And we see there that his family and the university, U of C, University of Chicago, they have declined what?
Any in-depth interviews requests because they wanted him to focus on his education.
Okay. All right. So easily somebody could get distracted in this situation because there actually would be hundreds of interview requests, people wanting to take pictures. And you think of anybody like a popular singer, popular athlete or something that is in the news, they are swamped with requests, and then they'd never get any work done.
And I think it might change his interactions on campus quite a bit as well.
Yeah.
If he's this famous child prodigy and everyone is always trying to get an interview, then maybe some of the friends he would make would start to tell stories or, you know, there could be all kinds of things. And I think this was a wise decision on his family's part to really try to step back and say, no, this is not the time. But now that he's graduated, he has had a chance to open up a little bit more and share his perspective.
Okay. All right, listeners, yesterday we finished up hearing from Shoyano about his work with children with cerebral palsy and how he got into that. And we also talked about yesterday being gifted isn't easy. And we start today with our first reading. We'll have the couple of paragraphs there in the left column on page 17. Standing out isn't easy.
Standing out isn't easy. Yano understands the attention surrounding his trajectory, but he'd much rather ask questions than talk about himself. When the Pritzker School's incoming class of 104 arrived in Hyde Park in fall 2003, Yano's reputation preceded him, sparking a flurry of Googling. But the notoriety eventually passed. I wouldn't say it was forgotten, but it was definitely normalized, said classmate Anthony Sophia. Another classmate, Emily Davidson, said, despite his age, Sho's the oldest soul in our class.
Okay, standing out isn't easy. Being different isn't easy, and Shoyano understands it, right, Campbell?
Yeah, he said it, the article says that he understands the attention surrounding his trajectory. He understands why so many people might be interested in this path that he's chosen to take.
Right. A trajectory is, I try to imagine one of those charts, you know, where you can see the line kind of flying upward. And so we can imagine that for Shoyano's college experience that he sort of started at the beginning at a younger age and got more accomplished and older, and so it sort of flew upward.
Yeah, or maybe like a rocket shooting off into space, the trajectory of the rocket. But he'd much rather ask questions than talk about himself, right?
Yeah, I think this is probably in reference to how doctors ask questions to find out more about how a patient is feeling. So he'd rather find out about other people than share about himself.
At the University of Chicago, their medical school is called the Pritzker School of Medicine. So that's why we start the next paragraph off talking about when the Pritzker School's incoming class.
Right. There were 104 students in that class. They arrived in Hyde Park in fall 2003, and it was a momentous occasion. Of course, it was exciting for all of them, but especially because they were in the same class as Shoyano, and he did have a reputation already. It preceded him. It went before him. They heard about him before they met him.
Yeah. All right. Hyde Park is actually a section on the south side of Chicago. That is the location of the University of Chicago. Now, his reputation preceded him, sparking a flurry of Googling.
Right. A lot of people started to research him on the internet. Now, flurry here is just a lot of sudden activity. So we can say, you know, right before the wedding, the bride's family was in a flurry of chaos or a flurry of activity.
Okay, so there's all this stuff. People want to know, who is this guy? Let's find out what we can about him. So they all went online to see what they could learn. But
the notoriety eventually passed. Notoriety being the state of being famous for doing something, often something that is kind of negative. So we usually talk about the notoriety of a famous criminal. But here, of course, we're talking about his fame for being intelligent.
Yeah, and that the fame and the flash fades within time, usually within a couple of weeks. Then it just everybody gets back to normal and he becomes just like everybody else. So he's an average student then. At least, you know, walking around campus then.
Well, almost average.
Almost and average.
I think it's interesting to hear from his classmates, and I'm glad that the writer of this article gave us a bit of their perspective as well.
Yeah. First, we hear from classmate Anthony Sophia.
Yeah, he says that he wouldn't say that the notoriety was forgotten, meaning that everybody just forgot about the fact that he was special, but it was definitely normalized, meaning that it just became a part of everyday life.
Okay.
Just a part of it.
Yeah. All right. And then another classmate, Emily Davidson.
Right. I think she's explaining part of the reason why it was easy for the class to kind of get used to him being around was that despite his age, he's the oldest soul in our class. When you call someone an old soul, it means that they seem very wise, even though their age might be quite low. They might be quite young. They have this sort of this something to them that gives you the idea that they might not be as young on the inside as they look on the outside.
Yeah.
That's an amazing thing to hear about him, such a young student at that time. I imagine he's pretty calm. Mm-hmm. I kind of get that impression. He's just pretty calm.
Well, and I love that picture of him as a younger kid still, the first picture on page 16. You kind of see that in his eyes. You get this sense that he's thinking a lot about life too, not just about his books.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's have our second reading. Go over there to the right column on page 17, and we'll start from the top of the column all the way down to line 20.
Academically, there was no question about Yano's credentials, which included a 3.9 GPA at Loyola and stellar test scores. Pritzker decided to admit him after he met with double the usual number of staff, the university said. I remember interviewing him. This nice, polite 11-year-old boy dressed in a little suit, said Dr. Joel Schwab, a professor of pediatrics. You couldn't tell by talking with him that he had his incredible mind. Schwab recalled some of the debate surrounding Yano's acceptance. How some colleagues questioned whether they were denying the young boy a childhood. But such idyllic youth was not even a remote possibility, said the pediatrician. He was never going to be among typical 11-year-olds, where his mother would drive him to Little League. He was exceptional, so you have to evaluate him differently. He was going to be a doctor regardless, so why not here?
At the end of our previous reading, we heard some quotes from some of Shoyano's classmates, and now in this section, we actually hear from some of the people at the school who were involved with admitting him, and we learn a little bit about that process of actually bringing him in, the official process of bringing him in as a student.
Right. We see that academically, so as far as his grades were concerned, there was no question about Yano's credentials. When we talk about someone's credentials, we're often talking about whether someone is qualified to do a certain job. Mm-hmm. We might say, well, what are your credentials? Where did you graduate from? What certification do you have? So in this case, his credentials included, as Campbell said before, a 3.9 GPA at Loyola and stellar test scores.
Stellar.
The word stellar just means really great or extremely high in quality. The word stellar can also be talking about something that's connected with the stars. So often when I think of something that's stellar, it's something that's just out there.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, all right, he's got the numbers and he's got the credentials, but there's more to this, right, Naomi?
Right. The school, Pritzker, decided to admit him after he met with double the usual number of staff. So they wanted to really make sure. They knew that academically he was solid, but they also knew that he was still a kid. And they wanted to make sure that this would really be something he could handle.
Yeah. They had to bring in other people, probably even people within other disciplines to really evaluate this.
Yeah, probably some psychologists and things like that because, you can on paper look like you have the grades and you have the test scores, but are you mature enough to handle the discipline? Are you mature enough and capable of handling all the different challenges that you're going to face?
Yeah. I would even say a child psychologist maybe because they at that age, they would still have to consider all of that. And this is really pretty interesting. In the next paragraph, we hear from one of those people that did interview him, Dr. Joel Schwab.
Right. He's a professor of pediatrics there at Pritzker. And he says that he remembers interviewing him. He describes him as this nice, polite 11-year-old boy dressed in a little suit. And we can just picture him so adorable sitting there and saying, yes, I would like to become a doctor in the next few years. It's a fun picture to imagine.
All right. And then Dr. Schwab then continues in line 9.
It says he says that you couldn't tell by talking with him that he had his incredible mind. So I just imagine that his childlikeness still shone through despite the fact that he was so smart.
Yeah, yeah. All right. And then Schwab recalls some other things here.
Right. There was a lot of debate surrounding Yano's acceptance. So that means that all of the people at the college who were working on interviewing him and looking at those credentials and so on, there was more than one opinion going on here. And of course, it would be a tough decision for sure. And some of the colleagues were questioning, is this really a good idea? Doesn't he need to have a regular childhood?
Yeah, yesterday we had the word naysayers, and actually this is an example of some of the naysayers just questioning, is this the right thing to do? And they did question this thing about his childhood.
Right. They were wondering if they were denying him a childhood because, you know, as a medical student, it's a pretty rigorous program, so you're not going to be able to go and play and do the things that regular 11-year-olds do. So they're wondering if they're kind of stealing that from him.
Right. If you deny somebody something, it means that you're saying, no, you can't have it, right? Like,
right.
You're not allowed.
Yeah.
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 We think of, young boys are riding a bicycle around, they're climbing trees, maybe they're playing baseball out in the street with their friends. That would be the image that we have, right?
Right.
But there is actually a continuation here of what Schwab recalls and his thinking about it.
Yeah, but then they realized, well, that such an idyllic youth was not even a remote possibility. Now, idyllic here, the word means that it's extremely pleasant, beautiful, or peaceful. I think of an idyllic scenery, just a place that's very nice.
Yeah.
So this idea of this nice, peaceful, fun childhood was not even a remote possibility for him.
Remote possibility.
Well, a remote possibility, it's sort of like saying an outside chance. You know, it's this very, very small possibility that's very unlikely. So they're saying, no, there's no chance he would have had that idyllic youth. He is not like other kids. So why would we think he would have the same childhood that other kids do have?
Yeah. And there's a reason there as far as how the doctor is thinking about all of this. He backs it up with, his thinking on it in the next paragraph.
Mm-hmm. He says he was never going to be among typical 11-year-olds where his mother would drive him to Little League. Okay, so he's not saying that every 11-year-old gets driven to Little League baseball practice. But a lot do. They do that or something similar. This is just sort of one example of the kinds of things that regular kids spend time doing.
Mm-hmm.
That's not going to be this kid's youth. That's just not how he's made.
Yeah, it's just not the way it's going to be because he was exceptional. So
yeah, he was exceptional, so you have to evaluate him differently, meaning that he was so much above average, above the normal, that you had to look at him and consider him differently than other 11-year-olds. You couldn't say, evaluate him in the same way. So, and they realized that he was going to be a doctor no matter what, so why not at their school?
I just want to point out that calling him exceptional, I think, is a really nice way to put it. They're saying he is kind of unusual in a nice way. And actually, you can use this term for kids that might have unusual qualities that could be considered a little less positive.
Mm-hmm.
For example, if you have a child who has a hearing disability or they're visually impaired, you could also call them exceptional because they are different from the average kid.
Mm-hmm.
So that doesn't mean that it's necessarily going to be a terrible thing for them, right? But it does mean that you have to treat them differently and educate them differently and, like they said, evaluate them differently.
Okay, let's wrap up our reading for today.
Yano isn't sure what would have happened if he had been denied admission to medical school as a youth. I probably would have ended up a computer criminal, he said jokingly. Instead, Yano can harness his intellect for good. These years in Hyde Park were the best of his formal educational life because he was allowed to soar, Yano said. I am living my dream.
Okay, we just finished the section where the University of Chicago was evaluating this decision to admit Sho Yano, and they had pretty much decided, well, he's going to be a doctor regardless, so why not here? Let's bring him in here. And next in these next two paragraphs, we hear from Sho Yano about this.
Right. I'm kind of curious to know, you know, is this a dream that you had? Is this something you would have pursued no matter what? Would you have come back to this if they had denied you admission? He says he isn't really sure, but he has some ideas. If they had denied him admission, if they had said, no, you're too young, you're not ready, what would have happened?
And what does he say?
He says, I probably would have ended up a computer criminal. But he was just joking about that.
Maybe.
We hope.
Hopefully. Now, let's put this into context. Now, why would he say something like that, and how does that fit in with today's society?
Well, I think that a lot of young people, if they do have this natural talent for just knowledge, it's easy for them to apply that in a negative way if they aren't nurtured very carefully with their parents and teachers' help.
I think the idea is that kids are always looking for some sort of stimulation or some sort of excitement. So if they're not challenged in a positive way, sometimes they kind of get challenged in a negative way.
Yeah. For instance, many of the people who are hackers in the cyber world, some cyber criminals, we might say, are actually highly talented, highly intelligent people, but they're using their talents in a negative way. So, and maybe they didn't have the right, you know, they didn't have the right people around them, they didn't have the right attitude, whatever. They ended up going to the dark side.
Yeah, I think about those movies that you see with these, you know, mastermind criminals.
Right.
I mean, I'm not sure that people exist in real life quite to that extent. But we know that a lot of crime does happen, you know, because people are smart enough to know how to get away with it. And I think the temptation would be very strong. If you're smart enough to say, well, it would be pretty easy for me to cheat people out of their money, then what would stop you? Well, you'd have to be challenged in other ways and have something valuable to do with your time.
Right.
Yeah. Well, fortunately, the University of Chicago did bring him in, and we see there, instead, Yano can harness his intellect for good.
Right, and here we see the word harness. Harness just means to take control of and use it for a certain purpose. You know, I usually think of harnessing some horses to pull a carriage. Now we're talking about harnessing his intellect, meaning to use his intellect to make a positive impact.
Okay, and we talk about his time at the University of Chicago.
Right. The years there were the best of his formal educational life. Why were they the best of his college years? Because he was allowed to soar. And that brings us back to the word we saw before where we were talking about his trajectory, how high he went. He's saying that because he was nurtured in this way, he could really push himself to do the absolute best that he could.
And he was actually doing probably what we all hope.
Yeah, he says he's living his dream. And every time I read an article like this where someone talks about dreams, it just reminds me of how each of us are so different. Because, like, I would never dream of becoming a doctor. That's just not on my radar. But for him, this is a dream come true.
Okay. Well, we all have different dreams. Yeah, whatever they might be.
Oh, well, thank goodness, right?
Yeah.
Because if we were all Sho Yano, the world would be in trouble.
Yeah.
But I'm glad he's here, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. Now, before we wrap up today, we do have a feature. Quite the read on this young man, Kristen. I just can't imagine a life like his and some of the pressures he must have faced.
Oh, Nathan, you must be talking about Sho Yano. I can't imagine graduating from university in 3 years and graduating summa cum laude and you are what? 12 years old?
Kristen, it truly is unbelievable. But wait, it gets even better. He is an MD at age 21. Golly!
Nathan, it sounds like a breeze of a journey, but it couldn't have been for someone so young. I know I would not stand up under that pressure.
Kristen, in many ways, I don't think the pressure came from his studies. but from outside sources, or perhaps, I should say, outside individuals.
Like those who were possibly jealous or envious and hit him with the wisecracks or constant naysayers?
Yes, that would be what I'm talking about. Hard to tackle that when one is so young, have an IQ that no one can measure. So, perhaps they don't think of you as intelligent, but just plain weird.
Well, Nathan, it is wonderful that he had his own passion and became enamored with the field of pediatric neurology.
Yes, and what dedication to be working with patients with cerebral palsy. That must be challenging and filled with a flurry of activity most of the time.
It is a different life for a boy and then a young man, that is for sure. The notoriety Sho experienced for a time must have been anything but idyllic.
I would also think that some of his campus experience as such a youngster would be a bittersweet memory.
This young man, Nathan, is probably an old soul when you think about his intelligence level and then how quickly he actually grew up. His world would be different, and he would be different to his peers. I wouldn't think of that as a negative, though. This young man's credentials are outstanding, and stellar test scores that are quite likely the best any of his teachers and profs have ever seen. Wow!
Kristen, it doesn't even look like Yano had to immerse himself in his studies. He was just that good.
Amazing!
Okay, so as we see finally on page 17, one more thing we want to touch on. The whole issue of Sho Yano being younger than the rest of his class. And we see that while some accommodations were made for his age, they did adjust things a little bit for that.
Okay, we see there in that sidebar that most students in the medical scientist training program, they complete their first 2 years of medical school, receive their PhD, training in the next 4 to 5 years, then finish the remaining 2 years of medical school. That is the typical track, but
instead, Yano finished just the first year of medical school, then completed his PhD in molecular genetics and cell biology, so he'd enter the second year of medical school, which includes interacting with and examining patients at about age 18.
So he was even on an accelerated program even there, right?
In a way. And I think what was really clever about this is that they said, okay, we'll let you start with the practical stuff. But now that you're done that, we don't think you're ready to actually start interacting with patients. Because if this, 14-year-old kid or whatever walks in, people are going to go, no, get me a real doctor.
Right. Yeah.
So I think it was really smart of them to say, well, why don't we work on some other things first and save that interaction with the patients for when you're a bit more mature.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Fascinating story about Sho Yano. Come on back, listeners, for day 3 tomorrow. We'll see you then. Goodbye.